میتواند اونم مذکران یک بای چند نازم بکردن اشخانی شیر پاو بارکی دار اسکان خان رو چلش رو بارکی من انتی کاری باش نکنید که نام چلش به هر دست هر تو بسی دار رن تو رای چما باگا بتام کی دار با پیمنندی او گلرسی بسندی بود او گلرسی بسندی بود او گلرسی شری گرو و شری گرو Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Text Number 42. Vrishyasya nasam chimpadam
Vrishyasya nasam chimpadam
Tapa socham dayamiti
Tapa socham dayamiti
Prati sangada ashvasya
Prati sangada ashvasya
Mahimcha samavadayat Vrishyasya nasam chimpadam
Vrishyasya nasam chimpadam
Tapa socham dayamiti
Tapa socham dayamiti
Prati sandada ashvasya
Prati sandada ashvasya
Mahimcha samavadayat
Mahimcha samavadayat
Vrishyasya nasam chimpadam Tapa socham dayamiti Prati sandara ashvasya Mahim cha samavadayat
Vrishyasya nastam kina padam
Vrishyasya nastam kina padam
Tapa socham dayamiti
Prati sandara ashvasya
Mahim cha samavadaya Thank you.
Vishasya of the bull, the personality of the bull. Nasan, love. Shin, three. Vedan, legs. Tapa, austerity. Chotam, cleanliness. Dayam, mercy. Iti, thus. Kati Sandade, we establish Ashvasya by encouraging activities. Mahim, the earth. Cha, and Samavadayat, perfectly improved. Translation. Thereafter, the king re-established the lost legs of the personality of religion, the bull. And by encouraging activities, he sufficiently improved the condition of the earth. Please repeat. Thereafter, the king re-established the lost legs.
Thereafter, the king re-established the lost legs.
Of the personality of religion.
Of the personality of religion.
The bull.
The bull.
And by encouraging activities.
By encouraging activities.
He sufficiently improved the condition of the earth.
He sufficiently improved the condition of the earth.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. By designating particular places for the personality of Kali, Maharaj Pariksit, practically chief of Kali, in the presence of Kali, Dharma in the shape of a bull and the earth in the shape of a cow, he could actually estimate the general condition of his kingdom, and therefore he at once took proper steps to re-establish the legs of the bull, namely austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. And for the general benefit of the people of the world, he saw that the gold stock might be employed for stabilization. Gold is certainly a generator of falsity, intoxication, prostitution, enmity, and violence. But under the guidance of a proper king, a public leader, or a Brahmin or sannyasi, the same gold can be properly utilized to re-establish the lost legs of the bull, the personality of religion. Maharaj Pariksit, therefore, like his grandfather Arjuna, collected all illicit gold kept for the propensities of Kali and employed it in the Sankirtan Yajna as per instruction of the Srimad Bhagavatam. As we have suggested before, one's accumulated wealth may be divided into three parts of distribution, namely 50% for the service of the Lord, 25% for the family members, and 25% for personal necessities. Spending 50% for the service of the Lord or for propagation of spiritual knowledge in society by way of the Sankirtan Yajna is the maximum display of human mercy. People of the world are generally in darkness regarding spiritual knowledge, especially in regard to the devotional service of the Lord, and therefore to propagate the systematic transcendental knowledge of devotional service is the greatest mercy that one can show in this world. When everyone is taught to sacrifice 50% of the accumulated gold for the Lord's service, certainly austerity, cleanliness, and mercy automatically ensue. And thus the three lost legs of the personality of religion are automatically established. When there is sufficient austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, naturally Mother Earth is completely satisfied, and there is very little chance for Kali to infiltrate the structure of human society. Om Agyana Pramanasya Agyana Madhya Chakram Vakanya Tasmai Sri Guru Venama. So, the bull is the symbol of religion, and we see that due to the Industrial Revolution, we can understand that how bad the Industrial Revolution is, because it's put the bull out of work. Before the Industrial Revolution, the bull was very valuable. Instead of having tractors and using diesel fuel, all these things are so demoniac, really. So the bull was very busy, and everything was done by bull power. So they had transportation by bull power, plowing the land. You can use the bull for so many different things, the grinding grains, making oil. But now we have the Industrial Revolution, so the bull has become useless except for eating. So therefore, you know, we see that the Industrial Revolution has really destroyed Vedic culture in a big way, because not only because of the use of tractors, but then the necessity for having tires, as Prabhupada would point out, you know, now we have Dunlop tire factory in India on the road between Delhi and Vrindavan. So instead of people, you know, living simply, growing food, which is the way Krishna lived himself, we see that he himself protected cows, he milked the cows, he loved his cows, he had a pet bull, Padmaganda and Pishangaksha, two pet bulls. And so, you know, the cows and the bulls, they were very important in a sane society. We see that in our modern society, people are becoming vegans, which is good, but it's not healthy. So you need the mother cow and you need the father bull to have a healthy society. And so our duty as followers of Vedic culture, like here, Parikshit Maharaj, he was the head of the state, so he was very powerful. So he was able to arrest Kali and re-establish the principles of religion, but we can't really do that by wielding a sword, because in this day and age, the Kshatriyas, they're just puppets. We see that, you know, the British royal family, Prabhupada said that this queen would be the last monarch. We'll see. Looks like it could be true. You know, her son is involved in some scandal. So, you know, this is royalty nowadays. Of course, the queen is not a bad person, but unfortunately, she probably would stay as well. Not good. Anyway, so we're living in the Kali Yuga, and Parikshit Maharaj, he was trying to re-establish the principles of religion, so he protected the bull and the cow, and he used the gold for the propagation of spiritual activities. This is the proper use of money, that any money we should recognize does not belong to us, that we should use it in Krishna's service. Of course, we have to maintain ourselves. So it's hard to evaluate exactly every individual person's need to contribute 50%, because some may be engaged in full-time devotional service, so they may not be able to make a living. But if one has sufficient wealth, and one doesn't actively work in Krishna consciousness, then one should be well aware of these principles of how to use one's wealth properly. But here, Prabhupada points out in the purport that that the mercifulness and truthfulness, when there is sufficient austerity. So Rishabhdev Maharaj, incarnation of God, he quoted this wonderful verse, very famous, Nayam Deha Deha Bhajanri Loki Kastanka Mana Vidbhujamye Tapo Devi Putrika Yena Satpam Brahma Sokyam Janantam. So means that by performing austerity, automatically one cleanses the heart. That one should not imitate the animals. The animals, the stool eaters, the hogs and the dogs, they eat stool. So one should not just be interested in material activities, but this human form of life is specifically meant for austerity. And when you perform austerity, like rising in the morning, going to Mangalarti, chanting 16 rounds, then automatically the heart is purified. And so austerity is such an important item in Krishna consciousness that, because we see in the history of ISKCON how devotees did, and maybe they still do, some devotees perform a lot of austerities. They put up the tents for the festival of the Holy Name. But I was listening to this wonderful account of Sankirtan in the 1970s. Shiva Ramaraj was talking about his experiences in Chicago, in the airport there, because at that time everything was very focused on book distribution. So book distribution was, of course, Srila Prabhupada's, he emphasized it probably more than anything else at that particular time, but at the end of his life, as we know, he emphasized Varnashram. But in the beginning, the 70s, it was all about book distribution. So the devotees in Chicago, they would go to O'Hare Airport, and Prabhupada wanted to rename it Hare Krishna Airport, not O'Hare Airport. So the devotees, they would go there, and at that time there was a lot of anti-cult propaganda. Because if you know the history, at that time there were several cults, actually. There was one cult that Jimmy Jones, I think his name was, he took some people down to Guyana in South America, and 400 people, they all swallowed poison, they all killed themselves. He was a Christian cult leader. So people were very on the watch out for cults. And the Hare Krishna, you know, we had been labeled as a cult. So distributing books at O'Hare Airport, which was the busiest airport in the world, was very, very difficult because we had so many people. There was one Christian group, for instance. It was a very busy airport, like 100,000 people a day. And the devotees sold a lot of books there because that was Prabhupada's desire, to flood the world with transcendental knowledge. So when they were, you know, in the airport, they had this Christian group who would shadow them and follow them around all the time. When they were trying to sell a book, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, these Christians, so-called Christians, they would say, don't buy that book, this is a cult. So just imagine how difficult, it's already hard enough to sell books. It's not so easy. In O'Hare Airport, you know, everyone's rushing around. And then you've got these people harassing you all the time, trying to put people off you selling books. So that's austerity. But, you know, mercifulness is a very important item in Krishna consciousness. And therefore we see many prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam all about mercifulness. For one, there's a prayer about Lord Shiva. Tapyante lakatapena sadhava prasodana paramaradhanam tadipurushasyakalatmana. It's a beautiful verse where the demigods are glorifying Lord Shiva because he swallowed the poison. So when the demigods and the demons, so if you go back, this is not mythology, but we don't really know the true history of the world, but on the higher planets, there was a big war between the demigods and the demons, just like now, there's always wars in the material world. You know, right now, we're looking at a war between China and America, because China wants to invade Taiwan, the Russians want to invade, you know, Poland or Ukraine. It's a crazy world. So, at that time, there was this war between the demigods and the demons, and so they were trying to get the nectar of eternal life. So they were churning the ocean, and the first thing that was produced was the poison. And so that poison was very dangerous, it threatened the universe, so Lord Shiva drank the poison. And, you know, poison isn't the best thing to drink, but because Lord Shiva was very powerful, he could absorb the effect of the poison. So therefore that prayer was said that great personalities almost invariably undergo great suffering for the benefit of the people in general. So that is considered to be the highest method of worship of the Lord. So when we perform austerities for the benefit of others, that brings great reward. Krishna blesses you by performing austerities. And Krishna himself says, etavanjam sapalyam dehyushe dehinam prana atadiyavacha sadashrenam vacha. He says that it is the duty of every human being to use his body, his words, his wealth, his life affairs, and everything for the benefit of others. There are many other places where we see that the quality of mercifulness is glorified in the Vedas. So austerity and mercifulness, sometimes you have to perform a lot of austerities to be merciful, but that is very healthy. So I know that when I first became a devotee, there was a lot of emphasis on book distribution. It's not there so much here in this particular community because it's a rural community, but it's still such an important part of Srila Prabhupada's mission. All the great saints and personalities in the disciplic succession have been involved in producing books. The six Goswamis that wrote books, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and well, there's a very interesting book called Ujjvala Neelamani. It's a little bit more advanced, not something to read right away, but there's a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami. It's very interesting. So they spent so much time writing these books for our benefit. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, he wrote 70 books, and those are the books we should distribute. But I was just saying that, you know, all the acharyas have presented literature. And so that's mercy. And there's this one devotee who translates these books. His name is Banuswami. So that's also a great act of mercy, but giving us, because Krishna himself, he spoke Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita was Krishna's mercy. When you read Bhagavad Gita, you're getting Krishna's mercy. So he's saying clearly that, you know, this world is not your place to live. It's a place of misery. I would want to say it. So he gives so much analysis of how you can relieve yourself from material life in the Bhagavad Gita. And then Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam has so much information on how you can free yourself from all your miseries. And then in the Srimad Bhagavatam there's so many prayers by great personalities like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he's saying how he feels so sorry for the suffering of the living entities. So many prayers like that. And then you've got Dadichi, another great personality. He said that if one does not feel sorry for the suffering of other living entities, then basically he's not considered, he's actually taken pity on by even immovable living beings like trees. So, you know, we have to be merciful. We have this knowledge, and this knowledge is meant for distribution. So we should try to, somehow or other, help with the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, because that's the example set by Krishna himself. Whenever there, wherever there was a kind of existence, I descend myself in order to reestablish the principles of religion. So Krishna himself, he does this, and then all the acharyas do exactly the same thing. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's this one verse. It says, the self-effulgent Vaikuntha planets cannot be reached by those who are not merciful to other living entities. Only persons who engage in welfare activities to other living entities can reach the Vaikuntha planets. So this is this is actually the highest welfare activity, is to distribute Krishna consciousness. And we have the perfect knowledge. Krishna says, Rajaguru, Rajaguru, this knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets, the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and joyfully performed. So we have this great, vast treasure house of knowledge. And there's no other knowledge in the whole world that compares to the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. If we compare, well, for one thing, any philosophy, they have departments of philosophy at every university. They have many books written by so many different types of people, and some of them are very famous, but because they're human beings, and humans have four defects, they cannot be perfect. So then we have different religions, we have Christianity, we have Islam, Judaism. So if you compare those books to the books of the Vedas have so much more knowledge. So much knowledge about how to be healthy, medicine, the whole process of how to perfect your life. So the world is in such great need of this knowledge, and we are the ones who have the opportunity and great privilege of giving this knowledge to other people. So therefore Prabhupada, he said that, because Prabhupada, you know, he sacrificed everything. Jesus sacrificed everything. Christ, you know, he gave up his life to save humanity. So Prabhupada did the same thing, but Prabhupada wrote many books which made it easier to understand the process of Krishna consciousness. So what Prabhupada gave was actually greater than what Jesus gave, because he gave so much knowledge as well as sacrificing his life. So we're all benefiting from what Prabhupada gave. And so we have to realize how fortunate we are that anybody who comes in touch with Krishna consciousness is very fortunate, because we may not realize it because the mind is hard to control and we're hankering and lamenting and everything else. But we have to realize that if we practice Krishna consciousness properly, and follow the instructions that Prabhupada gave us in the books, we can actually perfect our life. Because every soul is perfect, is potentially perfect. It is perfect. And love of God is dormant within every soul. So it's just a question of bringing out that dormant love of Godhead by practicing Krishna consciousness. And it's not very difficult. Anybody can do it. You don't have to be a scholar. You just have to chant Hare Krishna. So that's what it's based on. That anybody who chants, automatically, they become enlightened. of course, there are certain details that we have to follow and certain offenses that we have to avoid. But if we follow and if we have faith in the holy name, there's one verse or one purport Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that one who has faith that the holy name is non-different from Krishna is actually a pure devotee, even in a neophyte condition. So you might be in a neophyte condition, you may have so many attachments, so many material desires, that's okay. But if you believe that Krishna is non-different from his name, then you're a pure devotee. It's only a matter of time before you will become perfect. And you don't have to be a scholar. Of course, we need scholars, and the greatest devotees are generally scholars. But there are exceptions. We had the illiterate devotee who couldn't read, and Lord Chaitanya embraced him and stayed with him for 3 months because he understood the message of Bhagavad Gita, but we're not illiterate. So we can't use the excuse, I can't read the Bhagavad Gita, I can't read the book because I'm illiterate. No. We have to read. If we can read, then we should read the book, because that will give you more faith, that will give you more knowledge, that will give you more tools and how to control your mind and how to help other people. So, you know, reading is so important, and hearing. We can hear everything Prabhupada said. There's so many... The whole age of technology has so many bad things about it, but there's one great thing about it, and that is that we can read these books because we have printing presses, and possibly this is Krishna's arrangement, that the whole industrial revolution began so that people could print, we could print all of our books and distribute Bhagavad Gita all over the world. Because otherwise, you know, in the old days, copying out a whole version of the Bhagavad Gita would take a long time, and to distribute millions of copies, like Iskand had distributed, I don't know, I'm not sure how many millions, but millions of copies of the Bhagavad Gita. But how would we have done that without the printing press? So just like the gold here in the purple, Prabhupada talks about the gold being utilized by Maharaj Pariksit to spread Krishna consciousness. So the industrial revolution can be beneficial because it gives us the tools, like Pranga Vinhita, studying this class. So, you know, there's certain value there. But it's at the same time, like a knife can be used to save somebody's life, or a knife can be used to kill somebody. So the internet, or this modern industrialized civilization, can be used in the wrong way. And it's very easy to use it in the wrong way, because it's, you know, it's very entangling. So we have to try to use it the right way, and if we do that, it says that this is perfection of renunciation. There's that verse. Rupa Goswami, a very famous verse where he says that actually the perfection of renunciation is where you use everything in Krishna's service. So Pariksit Maharaj, he could use gold, he could build beautiful temples. Like in India, there's so much gold, there used to be so much gold. I don't know how much is there now, but I've heard that even now in India, there's more gold than anywhere else in the world. Because most Indian women have some ornaments of gold, and there's, you know, 1.2, 1.4 billion women. and they have temples with so much gold. So, the gold, when it's used properly, then it becomes a benefit for everybody, because everybody's attracted to gold. So if you're attracted to the temple because the Lord has gold ornaments, unless gold is used in the perfect way. So, anyway, so we have this body. This body, we have hands, we have legs, we have a mouth, we can see. So this body should be utilized in propagating Krishna consciousness. Because if we don't use it for propagating Krishna consciousness, we'll use it for sense gratification. And if we do that, then at the end of this life, we'll be lamenting, because we'll have to take birth again. We won't be confident that we'll get a better birth in the next life. So as it stands, you know, by using this body, it's a very useful vehicle. It's a wonderful machine. This body is an incredible machine. And because when it gets old, it's not so enjoyable. But if we look after it nicely, it can still be good. So we should use the body for trying to be very actively preaching Krishna consciousness. If we value what we have the greatest gift, this Krishna consciousness. So maybe not everybody can go out and preach and distribute books, but everybody can be engaged in Krishna, in the mission. The mission of Srila Prabhupada, the reason he established this young, was a vehicle for changing the world. He wanted to change the world. If you study his life, everything he did, everything he talked about, was all about changing the world. So we should adopt that mood, and that, you know, is really how we purchase our ticket to go back to Godhead. Because we want to go back to Godhead. We don't really want to stay here longer than we have to. But for a devotee, there's one verse, it says, Kaivalya Narakayate Tridasa Pura Pushkayate. Anyway, it's a long verse. I used to know. But it means that for a devotee, he's not interested in the pleasures of the heavenly planets. One time Prabhupada said, the problem with my disciples is that they're interested in going to the heavenly planets. Because the enjoyment is much better than material enjoyment. He says that this prayer by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, another great devotee, he says that actually it's like the will of the wisp. It's like flowers in the sky. Flowers don't grow in the sky. So it's imaginary. There's no pleasure here. Whatever you get, whatever you enjoy, is temporary and there's a price you pay for it. So he says that, but actually, one who has achieved the favor of Lord Chaitanya, for him, he sees the universe is full of happiness. So that's the message of all the great devotees, that when we engage in trying to give this knowledge to others, then we become full of bliss. And I remember when we would be distributing books back in the 1970s, we would live packed up in a little van, you know, and just eating simple food every day and going out and taking a cold bath in the morning in the winter. Because some devotees lived in Canada, you know, in Winnipeg, and it was like 60, 70 degrees below freezing, and they were going out in Sankirtan. So we didn't really perform any major service, but it was something. Living in our little van, going from one town to another. But it was very blissful. I can honestly say that was the most blissful time in fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, in preaching. So we should try to, and I know that, for instance, in Wales, in the United Kingdom, the devotees there, when they become devotees, they all go out in Sankirtan. And it makes them strong devotees. And sometimes it's said that if you don't get them to go on the Sankirtan, you're doing them a disservice. Because this is how they make the best advancement. It's by going out performing austerities, meeting people, getting humble when people refuse them. This is the greatest sincerity, but you make the most advancement. And if you don't give people that opportunity, you're doing them a disservice. So here, of course, we live in a different situation, but ultimately, that's how it was back in the day, and you know, people were very ecstatic being devotees and distributing the knowledge. So, you know, if we get a chance to go out, I know the devotees in Atlanta, Krishna Life they're called, they're doing incredible preaching actually. They go to Walmarts and they sell stacks of books in Walmarts. 7 books in one shop. And, you know, they're doing incredible preaching. They have so many people at that Sunday program. They have an unprecedented number of African-American people, especially females. And they're also going out selling the sets of books. So, you know, they're very blissful. Because they're doing the austerity. Without austerity, there's no bliss. So this is the best austerity, but there's many other types. You can clean the temple room, or clean the fans, so many types. But going out, that's the best. Anyway, so I'll finish there. Any questions or comments? Reflections? Yes. Yes, Matthew.
In Prabhupada's books, he always refers to the cult of Shri.
What's that again? In Prabhupada's books, it's like what?
He always refers to
the
cult,
idea of it's a cult,
the cult,
yeah,
of Sri Chaitanya,
yeah,
Mahaprabhu.
Right.
So when did, like, cult, he said at the airport, the hecklers would say, you know, oh, don't listen to them, they're a cult. So
they would call us a cult?
Yes.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Yeah, but Prabhupada said in so many places in his books, the cult of,
yeah, but there's a positive way to use the word cult, and there's a negative way to use the word cult. Cult, in the positive way, it means a culture. It's a culture. You know, it's the best culture. So, in the West, the word cult has negative connotations. It means it's a false religion, it's something demoniac, you know, it's totally different. But it is a cult. But generally, we don't use that word so much because modern people don't understand the difference between the positive concept of cult and the negative concept of cult. But it's not a cult because there was a court case, it was in 1976, I think, where the devotees had been accused of being a cult, and so we had to go to the court. We went to the High Court, New York Supreme Court. And Prabhupada said, okay, you just take along the books. You take along the set of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all the books, and you show the judge the books. So this is proof that it's not a cult. This is the oldest cult in the world. So when the judge saw the books, he completely threw the case out. He said, this is not a cult. This is the oldest cult in the world. You just got to read the Sanskrit, you know. This is the original culture of the world.
Thank you.
Thank you for pointing that out. Have a good time. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.